السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدا عبدہ ورسولہ. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین ایاک نعبد وایاک نستعین اهدنا الصراط المستقیم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. فإن مع العسر يسرا بس یقیناً
Hazrul says, surely after every difficulty is ease. The verse that I have recited is from Surah Al-Inshirah.
Huzur says that in Mecca these 13 years he spent the years suffering all the atrocities and the poor companions. These atrocities which were committed against the companions, looking at that, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always advised the patience. One of this injustice is related to Hazrat Yasir and his family. They were being subjected to torture, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam happened to pass by that way, and looking at that, he said, "Sabran ya ala Yasir, fa inna mawidukum bil jannah." That, O family of Yasir, be patient all the time, because Allah Almighty, because of these difficulties and torture, Allah Almighty has already prepared paradise for you. And then, during this atrocity, both the husband and the wife, they got the high station of martyrdom. So now you see that the injustice is of that nature on one side, that apart from the death, there was nothing else which could deliver them from this torture, and there was no other way out, and they were being advised to be patient. And also the glad tiding was being given to them that after every trial there is a big success waiting for you, and surely after every trial and difficulty there is a big success waiting for you. And these sacrifices are there, these difficulties are there, these terrible conditions of the persecution are there, but behind each and every torture there is going to be a series of successes after that. And then the whole world was witness that those people who were poor and persecuted, these people not only became dominant in Arabs, over the Arabs, but also they went outside and also brought the big kingdoms under the subjugation of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. and for centuries the Muslims remained as a great power. Today the Muslims they take pride in being the servant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is quite justified. Today on the surface of the earth there is no greater honor than this, that we are the followers of the last law-bearing prophet, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are from among his slaves and servants. But how clearly this verse of the Holy Quran also explains that sometime the difficult time is going to come, and it has to come, and it did come. And the prophecy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there, that such a time would come at my ummah, that this pomp and show will not be with them all the time which they had acquired. Today we see that how truly this prophecy has been fulfilled, and despite the fact that there are Muslim governments, but their distinction, they have lost their trust and dignity and glory. They are all dependent for everything, dependent upon other people to have those things. Their own resources, they are in control of others. Whether it's a question of oil or any wealth, as unless and until we turn to the other people, we cannot be successful. This is the worldly condition. And what is the condition of the religion? What is the condition of in this matter? That the so-called ulama, they have twisted the religion and tampered with it, and they have created innovations in that. And the real Islam of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time is no more the Islam of today. And the Islam which was brought by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Islam which is presented by the so-called ulama of this age, they are poles apart. So far as the passion in their belief is shown and expressed, that is one thing, but their actions are too far from it. The wrong interpretation of the word jihad, they are trying to defame Islam, and these so-called weapons of jihad, then they are also depending upon the non-Muslims and others. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned this thing, that if Allah Almighty had permitted the war with the weapons, then the Muslims would not have been made dependent upon the help from others. So for the sake of religion, if somebody is going to take up the weapons, because the wars today, which are carried out, they are not carried out in the name of religion. So if you are going to take up the weapons for the propagation of faith, then you are bound to be defeated. And not only this much, but in the name of jihad and in the name of Islam, the word is so much misused that as a result of that, the history is being written in the name of barbarism and terrorism. Muslims are those that the defensive battle was also only given in that condition, that if you don't give this permission, then there will be no synagogue, no worship place, no mosque, no church, no worship place will be safe. But these jihadi people, they are such people that they, in the name of Allah, in the house of God, they are writing the histories in blood. And those people who pronounce the kalima, indiscriminately they are being killed. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that in the formal battle as well, you don't have to kill an old man. No women should be killed. No child should be killed. And the priests and the hermits and those who are busy in their worship places, and they advise that they should be left alone. And the national treasure, like the trees, that should not be destroyed. But the jihadis of today, to their own fellow religionist, the people of the same religion, they are treating them so barbarically and so cruelly that one is absolutely terrified to see that. And they do it all in the name of Allah and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Certainly, on this point, they are getting the wrath of Allah Almighty, and they are going to be punished by Allah Almighty, and they are being punished. And not only these jihadi organizations, which are generally denounced everywhere and condemned everywhere, and particularly upon Ahmadis, they are perpetrating these crimes. And not only the ulama, but some governments are also involved in that one. And they are supporting these oppressors. Is it this period of period of affluence which Allah Almighty, which the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has made the prophesied? And was it mentioned there that Muslims will do it when they get the power? Certainly it is not that time. As I said, that period of Mecca was the period of difficulty, and later on Allah Almighty provided the time of ease. And after that, the difficult time came once again. And after that, Allah Almighty again mentioned the period of ease. And that period, according to the development of the progress of the religious matters through the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, that has already started. But those who are disbelievers of the promised Messiah, they are still wandering around and groping in the darkness. And those people who have believed in the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, they are trying to impose hardship upon those people. And they are spending day and night in this effort, how they can impose certain hardships upon these people, upon the believers of the promised Messiah. And what great calamity could be there for the Ummah, that the darkness from which they were supposed to be taken away, and the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was sent for this purpose. And the Muslims, they are perpetrating and the injustice and oppression upon these believers of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. The opponents of the Jamaat, they consider that they are imposing all these hardships upon the Ahmadis. And upon Ahmadis, according to his promise, Allah Almighty, after every difficulty, Allah Almighty is opening up the gates of progress and for the Ahmadis. And every oppression, every barbaric act which is carried out, which is whatever they may do with the intention of finishing the Jamaat, but as a result of that, Jamaat always takes a step forward on the progress. And on the opponents, Allah Almighty, in one way or the other, He does show His display here upon those people. But it's very sad that still the people do not understand that. And the so-called, people who are wearing religious cloaks, they are becoming the slaves, the general Muslims, they are becoming the slaves of them. They are not able to use, they are not ready to use their intellect. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah Almighty have mercy upon the condition of our opponent ulama, that whatever they are doing, that is not good for religion, rather it is very dangerous. And they have forgotten that time when they used to go up on the pulpits and they used to denounce the 13th century, that in this century the Islam has been caused great damage. And then inna ma'al usri yusran, inna ma'al usri yusra. And then reciting this verse, they used to deduce that the 14th century would be the century of ease. And when that century came, and exactly on the beginning, on the head of this century, one person came with the claim of the promised Messiah, and the signs were manifested, and the heaven and earth gave the witness. And then these were the very people who became the first deniers. So these ulama, their attitude and behavior, that actually started from the time of the advent of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, it's still continuing. Now they are even saying that there is no need of any Messiah to come. And they say that we are good enough to guide these people, these so-called ulama, they say this thing about them. These people, those people who are made the guides by, they are made by Allah Almighty, they are the true guide, not the self-styled leaders. Otherwise, these worldly things, they make them to make such statement, which make it very clear that in which this there is no trace of any divine light. Recently, I read a news who is called a doctor, who is a federal minister as well in Pakistan, and he is the Islamic Ideology Council. He has been a member of that. Regarding him, this was a news item in the press recently. He made a statement that if President Obama, if he comes and he offer the 2 rakats of Eid prayer, because this the mosque in Ground Zero is very much in the news at this time, that if he offers, he say that if then the Muslim Ummah would believe him to be the Khalifa of the Muslimin and the leader of the Muslims. So in whatever context, whatever understanding he has given this statement, one is really surprised at their interact. And these people, actually, they deserve to have these people as their Amirul Mumineen and Khalifatul Muslimin. So what sort of standards they have made for these people, and what sort of standard they want to have? So those people who have denied the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, so their eyes, they see everything in the perspective of the world, and that is very, that makes it very clear that what sort of darkness is upon them, and still they say that we are not in need of any Messiah and Mahdi. Allah Almighty have mercy upon their conditions. And then Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam says in one place that Islam has suffered great trials and difficulties. Now that period is gone, and now the spring season is coming for Islam. Inna ma'al usri yusran. After distress there is a time of ease. But the mullah people, they don't like that Islam should prosper even now. So now with the advent of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, the period of hardship for Islam has gone by. The Imam, the Messiah of the age, he has presented the beautiful teaching of Islam and made it very clear and made it available to the whole world. And despite all the hardships and hurdles which were being put by the their own people and outsiders, the caravan of Ahmadiyyat is moving forward. The followers of other religions, they are coming under the banner and the standard of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from among the Muslims as well. These people, they are coming at the hand of the Imam of the age, and they are accepting the teaching of that Islam which is free from this sectarianism, and that was believed in by the people of the earlier period of Islam, and that is the true picture of Islam. And these people are showing that example. The practical example of that was presented by the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They offered sacrifices, and they offered their lives, and they continued to raise the standard of Islam, and they established the standard of their talk, and they offered their lives and their property and wealth freely in the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah, and for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. They were imprisoned. So today these are the Ahmadis, who are the real picture of this example that we see. And though these are the Ahmadis, in order to raise the flag of the promised Messiah, they are ready to offer every sacrifice. Not only they are ready, actually they are offering these sacrifices. These are the examples that we see in every such Muslim country where opponents of Ahmadiyyat, they are trying to put misunderstandings in the hearts of the people and putting the poisons in their heart. And there are some people and some governments, there are certain governments for their wrong motives, in order to achieve that they are siding and helping those people who are doing these wrong things. But all these difficulties, they all only remind the Ahmadis of those great sacrifices which I have just referred to, which were given by the Muslims of the earlier period. In the period of the whole, in the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a difficulty, and also there was a prophecy of the time of ease to come. And this prophecy was witnessed by the whole world. When after the arrival in Medina, this period of difficulty did not immediately finish, and this period of trial and tribulation did not finish. Wars were imposed upon them, and by deception they were martyred. There is Bir Muna incident is very famous, when 70 companions who were Hafiz, those who have memorized the Quran, that is well known. And there is another incident in which 10 companions they were killed. And according to these narrations, both these things, the information about that was given to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was utterly grieved by that. And according to narrations, he was he was 30 days against these oppressors. He used to pray against that, these people, that O our master, have mercy upon our condition and stop the hands of the opponents of Islam, those who are so barbarically and so brutally, those who are shedding the bloods of the innocent at this time. So this period of ease and difficulty, that goes hand in hand. If the blood was shed of the Muslims, then there were some newcomers who were supporting the cause of Islam. And after every difficulty, there was a great victory, was becoming the decree, was becoming the destiny for the Muslims. And this greatest lover and the follower of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was the second advent of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his advent this promise had to be fulfilled, and this second advent has actually brought this promise. And after every difficulty and torture, the success which Allah Almighty has decreed to happen, that promise has been given twice. Because the reason for that is that those examples which were seen by the people in the earlier part, they are going to be shown for the second time in the second advent, in the period of the second. These so-called mullahs, if whether they like it or not, the period of the progress of Islam, and that has been linked with the Jamaat of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam and his followers. If difficulties are imposed by the opponents of Ahmadiyyat, then the victories are also coming their way more than ever before, and they are being manifested today. Hazrat, with the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Almighty made the promise in 1883, when he has not yet taken the bath, and not even he made the claim, Allah Almighty told him, Bada Usrin Yusra, that after difficulty there is going to be, but it's going to be short-lived, and after that there will be affluence and ease and progress. This is the translation which I have made it. Hazrat Muslim Aud has also pointed out to this one. According to the Arabs, the period of difficulty has been made limited, and the period of ease is made open. So that means that there are going to be some periods you will have to go through difficulty, but each and every difficulty will become will result in so many successes and victories, and this is what happens to the divinely appointed communities. And this is something, and Allah Almighty has given the promise that these communities will be established with glory till the end of the times. And these prophecies we see being fulfilled. So when we believe in that, so why should not we be firmly rooted in it, that the opposition of the opponents and the ulama is not going to give us any harm in the least? By offering the lives of the followers, the nations are not destroyed. But when this zeal and dedication and with commitment, when the lives are offered there and they make a promise to do so, then those people they actually prolong the life and strengthen the life of those nations. And when the promises of Allah Almighty, they further brighten up these commitments and dedications, then those sacrifices, they appear to be very small. And the victories, they are made manifest with a renewed glory. Hazrat Masih Maud al-Islam was given the promise by Allah Almighty. And in so many ways, on different occasions, it was said, well before his claim, he was given the prophecies, and that purpose for which I am going to appoint you, it may be very difficult, but I am with you, and the victory and the success you are going to witness. On one occasion, it was said in this wording of the verse, as it was revealed upon him, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina li yaghfir laka Allahu ma taqaddama min zambika wa ma ta'akhkhara. In explanation of this one, in Brahini Ahmadiyya, he says that we have given you a clear manifest victory, and that is to say that we are going to give you, and those unpleasant things and the difficulties which are going to come in the way, they are for this purpose, that so that Allah Almighty may forgive your past and future sins. So if Allah Almighty had willed, he was powerful, that whatever is intended there, without any difficulty, that could take place there. And with much ease, the victory could have been there. But the difficulties are for this purpose and this reason, that they actually are the reason for the elevation of the status. And now Huzur says that at this time, when I was going through the writing of the promise of the book once again, so a few pages were taken into my hand, and it was written, Fatah ka nakara baje, that the trumpet of victory will be blown. And somebody showed me a picture on the other side. Look what this picture tells you. And when I saw that, so then it was the picture of myself with a green coat, jacket, and just like a commander, a leader, leaders are there. And on the right and the left side of the picture, the word Al-Hujjatullah Al-Qadr, this is the argument from mighty God, and Sultan Al-Qadr was written there. So we don't have the least doubt in these prophecies and promises. So these difficulties which are being imposed upon us, or we are made the target of this persecution and hardship, then Jamaat Ahmadiyya is not going to be damaged in the least. The defeat of these attempts and the inability to achieve the objective, that is actually the sign of our victory. And this is indicative of that progress, of the progress and victory. And what is the trumpet of victory? That great victory, when it is going to come, when the whole world will be able to see, as it was given by Allah Almighty, that is going to blow, and it is going to take place. And the enemies, from time to time, the tortures which they inflict upon Ahmadis, whether they is in Egypt, or in Indonesia, or in Malaysia, or in Sri Lanka, or India, or in Bangladesh, or in Pakistan. Recently, in Bangladesh, a very small community, Chand Tara is the name of that Jamaat, and during the construction of the mosque over there, when they were extending the mosque, the Reuters, they came, they attacked, the mob, the crowd came, and they injured some people and demolished the mosque, and they damaged the houses of the, and they burnt their belongings, and some people were injured. And when our delegation went there, delegation came from Dhaka, when they talked to the ladies are generally weak, so one lady said that whatever damage they may cause, they cannot snatch our faith from us. They were very sad, and she cried that we could not build the mosque, however some of the jobs have been delayed. But so far as Pakistan is concerned, there, those stories of barbaric action and atrocities are being written. It looks as if these people have got the least faith in the mighty might and power of Allah Almighty. If they had some belief in that, then they should not have done these atrocities in the name of Allah. During the last from the last Ramzan up to this Ramzan, there are 99 people have been murdered, and 86 they were done in one day. And according in the according to these people, there is no value of the blood of the Ahmadis. And they say that as if God forbid, Allah Almighty does not care the shedding of this blood. But these people who shed the blood, they should remember that Allah Almighty is going to take the revenge of each and every blood of these martyrs. And Allah Almighty is definitely going to take it. And Allah Almighty will accept each and every blood of these martyrs. And He is going to bless us. Which remind us that the Fatha Mubina, the promise that the great victory is going to come, we are getting closer and closer to that one. The introduction of the Jamaat, which has been taken place in the whole country after the incident of Lahore, although the introduction was there, whether the people was paying attention or not, but the attention which has been paid now, in that, if we had been doing it through our own means, as we have been doing it, perhaps many decades would have been taken. But according to the promise of Allah Almighty, these martyrs, that they not only got the status of martyrdom, and they have got eternal life in the hereafter, but in this very life, they have, by offering their life in this life, they have spread the message of the promised Messiah salatu wasalam, and they have become the means of that. Allah Almighty has to spread this message, and Allah Almighty is sending it. And Allah Almighty has made these martyrs a means of spreading the message of Ahmadiyyat. But they are very fortunate, those people who offer these sacrifices in Pakistan. There are dozens of Ahmadis and members of other people of other faiths. They have also been killed in Pakistan recently. And many innocent lives have been destroyed. And the children are being left orphan, and the lady wives are becoming widow, and some old parents, they are being deprived from the help of their young children. But nor these people, they die, why they have been killed, nor their relatives, they know that why their beloveds have been killed. But every Ahmadi in Pakistan, they are having their life on their palm, and on their hand, and he knows that if my life is taken away, that is going to be taken for a lofty objective. And the relatives of the martyrs and their children and the widows and their parents, they know it fully well, that our beloveds, when they have offered their lives, that has been offered for a lofty purpose. And while they have offered their lives like that, and they have got the eternal life, then those people who have been left behind, their heads are have been raised high. I have received several letters like that. I have received many letters, and they are still continuing to come. That they say that our beloveds have left us, and how much high status they have given us, the people, those who have been martyred, and that is the personal gain of these people, and the Jamaat benefits that the Jamaat has achieved and will gain more, and that is the strength of the faith of the Ahmadis that is there, and I have received letters about that. They say that with this sacrifices, our fear has been taken away, and we have been given this desire of offering the life in the way of Allah Almighty, and we have been reminded to overcome our weaknesses and shortcomings. And as I said, in the field of tabligh, the avenues have been open. Although our martyrs, they have offered great sacrifice, no doubt, but after their, behind the sacrifice and behind that, there are signs of great revolution to take place. They are all pointing out to us that the true Eid will come on that day, when because of the blessings of these martyrs and sacrifices, then the whole Ahmadiyya world is going to bring about a pious change in them, when the whole world will come under the banner of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These difficult times upon the Ahmadis, they clearly tell us that no doubt this time is difficult, But behind that, the promises made to the promised Messiah, the time of ease that is going to come, in that the glorious chapters are going to be written about that. And that trumpet of the victory is going to be blown, which the promise was of which the promise was given to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. In future, when the Ahmadiyyat, the true Islam, and when the victory of Ahmadiyyat will be celebrated as such, or in that celebration you will be offering the Eid, then the martyrs of Ahmadiyyat, the history will always remember those people, and the whole world will be told that today the jubilation of the victory and the Eid celebration that you are having, they are actually indebted to those great sacrifices which these martyrs offered by way of shedding, by offering their blood. The opponents, they consider that this is very cheap blood. Actually, this blood is increasing its value day by day. And the sacrifices of the earlier part of Islam, they have not been forgotten today. So those people who have followed in their footsteps, then those people who followed in their footsteps, are those who tried for that, their sacrifices are also not going to be forgotten in the history. So the families of the martyrs, their wives, their children, and brothers and sisters, rather all of us, we should be grateful to these martyrs, and we should celebrate the Eid like that. That they removed the worries of the Imam of the age. They have written the history of the Jamaat has been written in their blood. So also along with that, they have shown us the ways of celebrating the Eid. For the last few years, we are seeing that when for the sake of the purification of self during the Ramadan, we give the sacrifice of the permissible things and then we celebrate Eid. While there are so many people who are offering their lives in Ramadan, and they are getting glad tidings of going into the paradise, they are the people who are really celebrating the Eid, and they have attained that station, which is the station of the pleasure of Allah Almighty. Although for those people who have been left behind, this is greatly distressing. The grief of the own people, your own relatives, cannot be forgotten. But when the Eid come after that, then you remember this grief too much. And this year, as I said, since the last Ramzan, 97 people have been martyred. There are so many widows, those who are going through the period of Iddat, and despite that they are in a state of grief. There are some children, they are missing their parents at this time and their kindness, and there are some mothers who are embracing their children by embracing, hugging them, but they are now deprived of them. So now without them, they have to try to have the consolation. And there are some parents, those with the help of their children, they used to go to offer the Eid. Now with the help of some other people, they are going to offer the prayer at their graves. So this love, this is something which is putting them into great distress and agony. And instead of the jubilation of Eid, there is a state of sorrow there. But if we consider, then in the month of Ramadan and on the day of Eid, how many people die on these days? And people have to simply bear that. But the death of these martyrs is for the sake of bestowing life to the people. These martyrs, they have offered their lives for the sake of the Holy Prophet, Promised Messiah, who was the greatest lover of the Holy Prophet, they have offered for them. And for the sake of Allah Almighty, they have offered their lives. So there is no need that we should not have the celebration for the sake of Allah Almighty. When we will celebrate in that way, then we will present our agonies and our sorrow to Allah Almighty. So then these things will elevate and raise the station of these martyrs in the hereafter. While on one side this will be take place, and on the other side this will also bestow satisfaction upon our hearts. and the period of difficulty will turn into a long period of ease. Regarding Eid, Hazrat Masih Maud al-Islam, all the revelations that he had, they give us the glad tiding of the jubilation of the Eid. So this question does not arise, that this occasion of the apparent Eids that Allah Almighty has created, we should not celebrate that. And we should not also join in those Eids which have been linked with the advent of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. Aamdan Eid Mubarak mat, Eid to hai, chahe karo ya na karo. That the first part for in Persian it says that the coming of Eid may be blessed for you. So the coming of Eid is full of blessings for the promised Messiah and also for the Muslim Ummah. First for Jamaat Ahmadiyya and then for the Ummah Muslimah. And their true Eid will be only that then, when they will accept the promised Messiah. Otherwise Allah Almighty has said clearly, and Hazrat Muslim Maud has given the explanation in one place, that is very appealing to the heart, that with the advent of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, the means of the arrangements of the Eid is there, which along with the and the victories with the ease, the means of that have been prepared and provided. But it is full of blessings for those who believe, and those who don't believe, they are the deprived one. And also giving the glad tiding of the victory, Allah Almighty says, Al Eidul Akhiru Tanalo Minho Fatan Azima. That there is another Eid coming in which you will find a great victory. So Allah Almighty, when He says to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam and gives Him the glad tiding of the victories, and those victories are such which are linked with reference, they are related to Eid. So then why we should not forget our griefs, and we should join with the Imam of the age in this celebration of the Eid. This condition of our grief at this time, in this condition, for the sake of getting the pleasure of Allah Almighty, the drops of tear that we will drop from our eyes, that will be pleasing to Allah Almighty. And we don't complain anything for everything. Certainly these tears will enable us to get closer and closer to Allah Almighty. As I said, that in Pakistan the life is being made very, very difficult, and the time and the atrocities which are committed upon them, and the courage with which they are bearing it, that is such a thing that all the Ahmadis all over the world, it's their responsibility that they should be praying for those Ahmadis in Pakistan. And despite seeing all these fears right in front of them, the boldness and the courage with which they are celebrating the Eid, actually the Eid is there, these people. Maybe that the people living elsewhere, they do not know that what are the horrible plans of the opponents. A recent example of that was the attack in the Ahmadiyya Mosque in Mardan, and they wanted to inflict greater damage, but Allah Almighty protected, and we have seen what the people they were doing. So the coming of these people to the mosque, that is a bold action. I mean, they are whenever they come to the mosque, that is a renewal of their pledge to offer their sacrifices. Anyway, the men come to the mosque, but the ladies and the children, because of this fear, nowadays they have been stopped from gathering into the mosque, and some ladies have been writing letters to me of their agony and uneasiness, and perhaps this is the first time that the ladies and the children have been completely stopped throughout the Pakistan to assemble in one place to offer the Eid, despite because of the wicked these plans of the opponents, this step was taken, and the members, the ladies and the children, they are feeling very much. And I say to all of them that if because of the plans of the opponents you have been stopped from going to the mosque, and you have been stopped from going to Eidgah to celebrate the Eid, and it is for the sake of your lives to protect you, so the apparent means and the requirements are very essential, and they are very essential to perform all these things from religious point of view. And if you cannot celebrate the Eid together But at least you can fill your houses with your cries and agonies and your prayer. And you fill your house with so much crying and sobbing that Allah Almighty should say that, oh my people, the promise of Allah Almighty is that with all the difficulty there is always some point of ease is there, a period of ease is there. So that is going to come and your difficult times are going to change into time of ease. And the promises given to the promised Messiah, salatu wasalam, they will definitely come true. So therefore you submit. You never be tired of submitting and crying before Allah Almighty. There is a promise, a revelation of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ladke kehte hain, Eid kal to nahi. The children say that Eid is not tomorrow, but day after tomorrow. That if this, so we should pray that the Eid, if it is not tomorrow, then it's day after tomorrow. May light it come in our lifetime. And because of our weaknesses, it should not be further postponed. There is no doubt in it that that Allah Almighty has to bestow victory upon this community. And when the very glaring victory will be there, Allah Almighty knows it better when it's going to be there. At the time of Germany Jalsa, there was my address when the German non-Ahmadis, non-Muslims, they were there. I spoke to them that you might consider it just a boasting, but we are firmly believed, we firmly believe, rooted in this belief that this organization which established through the promised Messiah salatu wasalam, that is going to be established now, and nobody can stop that but through love and affection, and not by capturing the governments, nor by terrorism, nor by killing the innocent people, nor by capturing the finances of other people, nor grabbing the land, nor by political dealings. In short, very purely, we have to establish the kingdom of Allah in the world. That is our objective. And this is not a boastful claim. This Allah Almighty will definitely fulfill that. And when the kingdom of Allah is going to be established, that would be the day of the real Eid for us. Ahmadis, if they are being martyred today and they are offering the sacrifices and they are leaving their homes, they are being displaced from their homes. So then it is for in order to receive that Eid and to welcome that Eid, which is the destiny of Jamaat Ahmadiyya. These nights, night-like condition which is we see upon the Jamaat Ahmadiyya, they are very valuable things which also come during the month of Ramadan, and it comes during the time of the messengers of Allah and the beloveds of Allah. The detail of that I have mentioned in my khutbah, my sermon. And when these nights are accepted, then they produce the great revolution. And after that, not only one, rather a series of victories begins. So what is it that if in Pakistan or in some other places the Jamaat is going through the period of difficulty? This type of period of difficulty, actually it is indicating to us the paths of victory and ease. So considering, having this point in mind, and also seeking help from prayer, and through the prayer seeking the help of Allah Almighty, this is our duty, to get the help of Allah Almighty, the sacrifices given by our dear ones. And as a result of that, there is a condition of sorrow in their houses at this time. And similarly, when the ladies and the children, and when they have been deprived from partaking, taking part in the celebrations of Eid, so all these agonies that they have in their mind, in their hearts, that should become the means of getting the pleasure of Allah Almighty. They should pray that this sacrifice of sentiments could be accepted and should be valuable in the sight of Allah Almighty. And then the world will see that what is the meaning of the prospering of the blood of the martyrs. So today we should pray that our steadfastness, our patience should be able to attract the blessings of Allah Almighty. And more than ever before, and Allah Almighty bestow upon us the happiness of the true Eids in the true sense as Allah Almighty has it. And with that, I would like, with reference to the Eid, I would give you the Eid Mubarak, Eid, congratulations. And you are in front of me, and those Ahmadis who are watching, listening to this khutbah, may it be a very happy Eid for all of them. Congratulations to all. Now we are going to pray for the station of the martyrs to be exalted, for their family members. Allah Almighty fulfill their all the good desires, keep them always under His protection, and Allah Almighty may protect every Ahmadi in Pakistan, and also turn their grief into happiness, and the captives in the way of Allah, Allah Almighty set them free, and also those people who are financially in difficult conditions, may Allah help them, and those members of the Jamaat, those who are for the safety of the Jamaat and for the buildings of the community, Allah Almighty also help them. As I said, in Pakistan and the Ahmadis in general in Pakistan, every in the whole world, Allah Almighty may protect all of them in every way, everywhere. And we should also pray for all of us that Allah Almighty make us His true servant.
Alhamdulillah na'madu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر